It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and I'm joined once again by Sean Waterman, Washington Times national security reporter. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Andy.
According to a NATO study, the U.S.-Israeli cyber attack on Iran was an act of force. Refresh my memory. This took place when?
2009, although it may have started as much as 2 years before that, and it wasn't discovered until 2010. This was Stuxnet, the very sophisticated self-replicating cyber weapon that it now appears was developed by the United States and Israel and deployed against Iran's nuclear program. What it did is it infected the computers that control the centrifuges that spin at very high speeds to enrich uranium, and it basically made them self-destruct while the computers, by spinning too fast, while the computer screens were telling the operators that everything was fine.
Ah.
Very sophisticated and apparently very effective weapon.
Yeah.
Appears to have set the uranium program back by, you know, between a year or maybe even 2 years, some estimate.
Mm-hmm. All right, so NATO says it's an act of force, but is it also considered an act of war?
Well, first of all, it's a NATO study,
right.
Not a statement of policy. It's a book, really, almost a kind of textbook. I mean, a lot of the people, there was a group of about 20 experts that wrote it over the past 3 years, and many of them are legal advisors to Western governments or militaries, but they all took part in their personal capacity. So it's not really it's not a statement of policy, but what they were unanimous, I was told, in their judgment that it was an act of force, which is prohibited under the UN Charter. Countries can't use force against each other except in self-defense. Now, there's also the rather controversial doctrine of anticipatory self-defense, where, you know, the idea is that you don't have to sit there twiddling your thumbs while your enemies kind of gather their forces and get together and get ready to strike.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, quite where this act, this Stuxnet, you know, this particular act of force, whether that might be justified under that, you know, under that rubric, I would say pretty controversial. But it didn't, I mean, they were divided, the experts were divided, because you've got, on the one hand, you have an act of force, which is prohibited by the Charter, but you also have something called an armed attack. Now, this is another concept in international law, and an armed attack triggers a state of, by one state on another, triggers an international state of international hostilities, and that means the other state can respond, and it also means that, you know, the laws of war, like the Geneva Conventions and so on, apply to that conflict. So the experts say they were divided about, although it was definitely an act of force, whether it rose to the level of an actual armed attack, which would make it, you know, in theory legal for the victim to respond with an act of force. They were divided about that. They couldn't reach an agreement. And, you know, quite a lot of the of this book, which is called the Tallinn Manual, after Tallinn, the capital of Estonia, where the NATO Cyber Defense Center that commissioned this is based, quite a lot of the manuals like that. You know, there's a lot of debate. This is a very new area of law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, some people think that, frankly, it's a bit premature to start issuing textbooks at this stage. But, I mean, you know, you've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it brings up a lot of questions. Yeah, I was reading your story, and I'm thinking, wow, I guess we really are living in an age where we could conceivably fight wars using keyboards instead of guns.
Well, you can certainly do a lot of damage with a cyber attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, and I think what bothered a lot of people about Stuxnet was it did cross that line. This isn't an act of espionage, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't getting into someone's computer to steal information that they're on it. It's actually destroying things using a cyber attack. And, you know, famously, about 5 or 6 years ago, the Department of Homeland Security conducted this experiment called Aurora, where they basically did the same kind of cyber attack on an electrical generator, and the generator blew itself up in the end. So, you know, and there's a lot of concern that the United States, because it's such a wired country, because it depends so intently on the internet, you know, is very vulnerable to that sort of attack.
I'm curious to the world reaction to this when it happened. I'm curious as to what China thought and what Russia thought, because I would assume it kind of exposed us for our capabilities and that of Israel, that, you know, we know how to do this.
Yes, I mean, I don't think there was very much doubt about it, but, I mean, I think more importantly, Andy, it showed that, you know, that the United States was not just capable, but prepared to do it. And, you know, it wasn't just Stuxnet. There have been a series of, you know, quote-unquote, or what the Iranians describe as accidental explosions at some of their ballistic missile sites. And, you know, a series of attacks, of murders, I think, probably not too far of a stretch to call them, of Iranian nuclear scientists, you know, killed with these limpet mines on their cars. So there is, and my colleague Guy Taylor wrote about this last week, there's a shadow war against Iran now, really led by the Israelis and the United States. And, you know, this is just one aspect of it. And, I mean, it continues. There are Stuxnet, as I said, was identified in 2010. And in the 3 years since then, a number of other very sophisticated cyber espionage tools, which, you know, again, are designed really to steal information rather than to destroy facilities, you know, have been detected, and the experts tell us that these probably come from the same people that wrote Stuxnet.
All right. Now, at the end of all of this, NATO, through the study, has determined this is an act of force. Will there be any action taken, any suggestions made? What becomes of all of this?
Well, on that level, I guess the ball is in the Iranian court. In the sense that, you know, if they wanted to try and take an international, you know, take the United States to court, the International Court of Justice, you know, they might try and do it. The Nicaraguans did it when U.S.-backed guerrillas mined the Nicaraguan harbors in the 1980s. But, you know, I mean, it didn't do them any good, frankly. And, you know, it's really, it's a sort of a nice legal problem, but it doesn't really, I don't think it gets anyone anywhere in terms of stopping it. I think the problem that a lot of people see is that, you know, this is an escalation and, or was an escalation, and there is this, it's not, as you say, it's not just the Americans and the Israelis that have these capabilities. The Chinese, the Russians have them. The Iranians, indeed, have said that they are working very hard on building up an online army. And, you know, we have seen cyber attacks against U.S. banks the last 9 months, quite sophisticated ones, which have knocked them offline for a day or so at a time. And a lot of people believe that the Iranians are behind those.
All right, folks, if you haven't had a chance to read it, it's a fascinating story. It's about a NATO study, The U.S. and Israeli Cyber Attack on Iran Was an Act of Force. It's by Sean Waterman. It's in today's Washington Times. As always, thanks for appearing on the program, Sean.
It's always a pleasure, Andy.
4:56, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.